Developing countries are struggling to keep up with financial pressure from the U.S. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Over the past week, we've seen a number of developing countries from Turkey to Brazil facing a problem. Money, investment money, is flowing out. You can see it as their central banks raise interest rates to try and lure investors back. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial in New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
Chris, you've been watching the sort of global flow of money swishing, sloshing across the globe from one place to another. And you're noticing there's a lot of money flowing out of emerging markets right now. Can you tell us what's going on?
The selling's been particularly heavy in Turkey and in Argentina, both of which have seen their currencies collapse by over 20% in the last few weeks, which in turn has prompted their central banks to raise interest rates to try to make investment more enticing. The Argentine central bank actually raised their overnight rate to 40% to stem capital outflows. It didn't work. The Central Bank of Pakistan has raised rates to defend its currency. Brazil is considering rate hikes as well. What began as a trickle is now a torrent.
Yeah. So how are we seeing the money that's flowing out of these countries and coming to the States? How are we observing that?
Well, it's showing up first in the dollar. The trade-weighted dollar has been picking up, strengthening for the last couple of months. And then, of course, as that money comes home, people have to put it somewhere. And one place it's going is into longer treasuries. We've seen 10-year note yields as a result fall. They were over 3.1% at the beginning of this week. Right now, they're trading at about 2.94%. It's not a huge move, but it is significant.
So you're saying that higher interest rates in the U.S. are pulling money from all these other places in the world, but all that money coming in turn driving interest rates back down?
In a sense, yes. The higher interest rate is short-term interest rates. Those are the rates set by the Fed. And those rates are still high. The rates that are dropping are further out on the yield curve. The 10-year note in particular, it's what we call curve flattening. And what that does, in effect, for consumers in the economy is if you're buying something with a floating rate loan, well, those rates will still be high. But if you're buying a house, for example, with a 30-year mortgage, mortgage rates next week will be a little lower than they were this week.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Last year was the most damaging hurricane season on record. There was Harvey, Irma, Maria. They wreaked hundreds of millions of dollars of destruction across the U.S. As the 2018 season gets underway in June, some forecasters are predicting a normal to above normal season. Marketplace's Jed Kim has more on what that means for people trying to get flood insurance coverage.
The National Flood Insurance Program was deep underwater last year, but Congress threw it a lifeline for giving $16 billion in debt. Right now, FEMA documents say there's about $10 billion left the program can legally borrow. Craig Fugate is a former FEMA administrator.
They have the money to operate, and they have the money to handle most floods.
Another Harvey, though, would be a different matter. The National Flood Insurance Program is overdue for reauthorization, and it's widely seen as needing major overhaul. But getting agreement in Congress right now is dicey, so the program's surviving through short-term extensions. Jeff Schlegelmilch is with the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at Columbia University. He says leaving fixes unaddressed is like building a house upon the sand.
The program will eventually reach a breaking point, and that means that coverage for flood insurance is going to have to go back up to market rates.
That could make it really hard for people in flood-prone areas to stay in their homes, and it could also make it really hard for them to sell and get out. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
We'll be right back. tracking is not just for credit cards and personal information anymore. You may have heard that lockmaker Assa Abloy had to fix a software glitch that could have led to hacks of a system of hotel key cards used for 7 million hotel rooms worldwide. Marketplace's Renata Sego reports that it's just the latest bump in the road for the hotel industry as it grapples with security in the digital age.
At one time, room thefts and rowdy drunks in the lobby were the most common security threats in hotels. Now add data breaches and active shooters. Max Siegel with the global security firm AS Solutions says the complexity of threats makes it impossible to have a global standard for what adequate hotel security looks like.
Each operator, each brand does it the way they see fit.
For one hotel, safety might mean requiring that guests enter the facility through a main door. For another, safety means surveillance cameras on every floor. Siegel finds many hotels buy security equipment, but fewer invest in training staff to deal with security issues. Security consultant Fred Delmarva points to one reason.
Security is a non-revenue generating department.
The challenge hotels face is keeping guests safe, or at least feeling like they're safe, and respecting their privacy. That's a big part of what hospitality is. I'm Renata Sego for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.